I wanted to bring this healthy and quality Greek and Mediterranean ingredients and products to the US to show people, you know, how delicious eating healthy can be.
This is Can Do, a podcast that explores the essential lessons for business success. As the world continues to feel the effects of the coronavirus, uncertainty and unpredictability have become the status quo. It has never been more important to learn from entrepreneurs and industry experts about their experiences and to hear their advice. Whether you're a business owner or entrepreneur, or your career is affected by the current economic climate, lessons shared by our guests can help you make informed decisions about your future. I'm your host, Arnie Sherman. Maria Loy is a born entrepreneur and global businesswoman, a former public affairs lobbyist for companies like Texaco, Sheraton, and Nokia. Maria's real passion in life is Greek cooking and healthy eating. Maria has opened 3 restaurants, authored 36 cookbooks, launched her own brand of food products, and has become a media fixture on numerous network programs, including her own show, Life of Loy on PBS. Leaving Greece for New York City in mid-career, she quickly established herself as a highly regarded chef and leading advocate for the Mediterranean diet. Loy spent 3 days cooking for President Obama in the White House in 2012. In 2015, she opened her flagship restaurant, Loy Estiatorio, in the heart of Manhattan. Her charitable foundation, Elpida, which means hope in Greek, supports children battling cancer. Her restaurant has continuously remained open during the COVID-19 pandemic and has provided free meals to frontline and healthcare workers, as well as the homeless. Today on Can Do, Maria and I will discuss her passion for business, as well as the current challenges and opportunities of being in the food and restaurant industry. We will talk about how, as an adult well into her lobbying career, she transformed herself into a globally admired celebrity chef and food industry leader. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national experience representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. Welcome, Chef Maria Loy. How are you today?
Excellent. I'm always good to speak to you.
Well, it's good to speak with you as well. For our listeners, New York was extremely hard hit by the COVID pandemic. How are things in New York these days?
Well, I have to say that New York, maybe it's the best state, and actually Manhattan is the best city, maybe all over the world, except my village in Greece.
So we're recovering well in New York?
Very well, actually. And people, they're following, you know, vaccines. Even in my restaurant, when they come, we don't even have to ask them about the proof of vaccination. They go like that. Immediately, they show it.
You mentioned your Greek port town. Tell me a little bit about growing up there, particularly as being the youngest of 5 children.
So, it's a small village called Thermo. You know, it's in the Midwest of Greece, as I say, because I like that. I like Midwest people. That's why I say that. So my village Thermo is over 3,000 years old. So you can understand that the history that lives in my genes. So yeah, we had a small farm where we grew up. All of the things which we should be eating, actually, as part of a healthy Greek Mediterranean diet, I could say. And all of us, the 5 kids, you know, worked in the fields all together from a young age, actually. 3 years old, I could say, we started there. But our parents wanted more than that for us. So they were really supportive and wanted my siblings and I, as you said before, we're 5, huh? Can you imagine? Today we don't have families like this for 5 or it's less than 3 children. So they wanted us to be educated. So they homeschooled us. from 2-3 years old until it was a time to go to the village school. And by the time I was 5 years old, I was reading the newspaper to the elderly at the cafenio. Cafenio in the village is a coffee shop of today's coffee shop, but it's not the same. It's like that the village center. That's how I grew up.
So being the youngest of five children, did you have to wait your turn to cook? When did you start cooking?
No. Actually, I was cooking in the house. I was the one who had the microbe, you know, to go there and cook. I loved cooking. Since I was 4 or 5 years old, I was going around and around, you know, in the village, in my aunt's house, in my friend's house, just checking, you know. And also my father used to cook very well. And I used to look at my grandmother's cooking, and also my grandfather, who was the guru, actually, of cooking and knowing the ingredients, all the herbs, you know, what it was good for you, how you should eat it. He was the new Hippocrates.
So we're going to talk later about your cooking career and restaurant career and what's happening in the food industry. But you were a lobbyist for a long time. How did that come about?
Well, some good people saw my talent, you know, for connecting people. That's what they said. And that's how I started, actually. The rest, it's history. Because after my first job, it was with ITT Sheraton, you know, the today's Marriott Hotels. Many other companies after that followed because we were very successful. I became actually one of the best lobbyists in Europe. But for me, even though I was at the top of my game, I was not really happy or satisfied with my life, you know, according to how I was raised, as I said, and my own ethos.
And as I understand it, there was a poem that helped you change your life direction. Tell me about that.
So I will tell you, it's one afternoon, I said to myself, no more. I actually, after reading like the poem As Much As You Can by Constantine Cavafy. So Constantine Cavafy was a world renowned Greek poet. So it says like, and if you can't shape your life the way you want it, at least try as much as you can, not to degrade it, you know, by too much contact, you know, with the world. So and by too much activity and talk, that's who I was actually. That's what I was doing. So and I say, yep, I will try not to degrade it by dragging along, you know, like taking around and exposing my life, you know, so often. And for me, really, I was not happy, you know, of all this daily silliness, you know, of social events and parties. And until my life became like boring. I cannot say more of that.
So even though you were one of the top lobbyists in Europe and working for these companies, it was boring to you. But you must have learned something from that experience other than you wanted something new.
Yeah, no, actually, because of that, I packed my belongings in my office. And then I left that career behind. As I said, I don't know, something was bothering me. And I couldn't find what. But when I went back to my village, and in the middle of the night, I left. And when I woke up and heard the birds, you know, singing, I knew I was back, you know, on the right path.
So then you launched your restaurant career and food industry career in Greece.
Well, when I went back there, I began reading, writing, gardening, cooking. And from there, I began researching the foods and recipes of ancient Greeks. And that's how I started again. Actually, that research would have become my first published book, The Ancient Dining. Can you imagine? It was the official cookbook of the Athens 2004 Olympic Games.
What about ancient grains and ancient cooking was so appealing?
Well, that's what is healthy for you. That's what you should eat. And that's why it was very appealing to me. And appealing, actually, to many other people. It's in the Mediterranean diet, you know.
We've talked a lot about the Mediterranean diet. For our listeners, can you share what the basic staples of the Mediterranean diet are?
It's easy. What you can find next door. As I said, you can go beans, you know, like greens, herbs, olive oil. Without olive oil, there's no Mediterranean diet, okay? That you have to know. It's a cornerstone of Mediterranean diet. So, and you can have fish, yogurt, these kind of things if you have. And you can make soups. You can make even a piece of bread with olive oil and some tomato paste. Okay? It's a Mediterranean diet. And it's very good for you. And it's a full meal. If you put some feta cheese on the top, if you don't have feta cheese, you can put ricotta cheese. Okay, so, and you will feel satisfied immediately, but make sure that they're organic.
You say that your culinary training came from the school of nature, which you're relating to, but what does that really mean? I mean, how did that translate into becoming a restaurant owner and, you know, a chef?
I will tell you, I didn't become a restaurant owner because of that. I became a restaurant owner in Greece because of my friends. From my lobbying career, I knew many people. So they were coming to my house over there by the seaside. And everyone wanted to eat from my food. So sometimes we had 50 people in my house. And they said, my friend Nicholas says, hey, Martha. He used to call me Martha because of Martha Stewart. Yes. Thank God PBS now is calling me like also between Martha and also Julia Child, you know. With Julia Child, we share the same birthday, you know, 15th of August. Mm. I don't know if you know that. Yes. And we have actually parallel lives. She was working, I think, for the State Department, kind of a lobbying career. I was a lobbyist, you see. And then later in her age, she became a chef. And at my age, later I became a chef. So anyway, and that's how I opened a restaurant down in Greece, because they said, we cannot come to your house every time. Please open a restaurant. And we opened a restaurant for fun. By the picturesque port, you know, of Navpaktos. It's so beautiful there. You have to visit. So, and that's how I became a restaurateur. But I never think that I'm a restaurateur. I always think that I'm a chef. And I became a chef because I cook what my grandmother taught me and what other people taught me. And I was cooking at home since I was 7 years old. Because I told you, we were a very poor family and we needed someone to be the chef in the house, and that was me. And I loved it. I always, all the people, they couldn't believe that I was the one who cooked there, because I was like a small, tiny kid.
So you're eating all this healthy food and you're learning from your grandma's recipes and you're writing cookbooks, and the Mediterranean diet, I guess, is the general, you know, concept of what you're promoting. And why is that diet the healthiest one available?
So, first of all, I have to tell you something. I am not promoting. I just want, you know, people to learn. And I'm not a doctor, actually, to tell them about the Mediterranean diet. I'm telling people what my grandfather told me. So it's actually the Greek Mediterranean diet. And it's good. And it's not me only who's telling that. It's over 5,000 years. It has proof of that is the healthiest, you know, and the easiest method of feeding, okay, for any dietary needs. According to U.S. News and World Report, the Mediterranean diet is ranked number one best diet overall.
So you put your whole staff on that diet. What happened?
Yeah, because also it's a Mediterranean diet is best for diabetes diets. And two of my people, they had diabetes and they don't have it anymore. Okay. The Alex, who is a business partner there, he had heart problems. And his Mediterranean diet ranked in best heart healthy diets as well. So that's what made me, and I said, let me, even like from people who wanted a fast weight loss. It was good.
So you're in Greece as a mature adult. You're at the top of your field in your country. You're on TV there. You're writing books. Why'd you come to the United States in 2011?
Because I told you before, I want to change the world with one healthy bite at a time. I love, you know, like, I don't know. When I came to Yes to advise somebody else, I felt that I had to be here. And I felt to give my knowledge, you know, to these people, to eat healthy. So, and that's how we started.
I'm speaking with Maria Loy, global businesswoman and celebrity chef. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by Montana Rail Links, committed to safely delivering transportation solutions to their customers and partners. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national experience representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. So you have this established restaurant and the COVID pandemic hits. How did you react to that? And in general, how did the New York restaurant industry respond to that?
When the pandemic, it was not only for us, you know, it was for everyone. And we said that from the very first moment, we said we have to stay open because we are Greeks. And we have the courage, and we want to help people. So me and my team, we were there. So we took care of customers. And, you know, it's a billionaire's row where Loy's Teatorio is. And most of whom don't really cook themselves. We also took care of people by donating thousands of meals, you know, to first responders at hospitals, all over the city. We were able to make sure that our staff was taken care of too, you know. We were able to make sure their families had food to eat and money to pay their bills. And also their families around their families. And it was a winning combination for everyone.
Many in the restaurant industry have had hard times retaining staff or finding new staff. It's a common problem in Missoula, Montana, and in many other places around the United States. What's your experience been?
I think that everyone is jealous of our team. Our core team is with me almost 10 years. 10 years I'm in the States, November. 10 years is my core team. So we didn't face this problem. But I know others, they did face this problem. And it's not good for the industry. And it's not good for the rest of the industry because it's like a domino. When something doesn't work, next store will not work. It's a domino. But I think here in the city, New York City, is getting back. I don't know... down there in Montana or in other states. I heard Florida, they're open. But really, it didn't hurt us.
You've mentioned several times about what a great team you have. So tell me a little bit more about your team and how did you gather them together?
It's easy. Either they come to you or you come to them. And you go to them. And you speak to people. My team in the kitchen, some of them, they were dishwashers. You teach them. And you show them what do you want from them. So this is the way that they will come next to you, to show them that you trust them, to show them that they are family, that you do care for them, and not only for them, for their children, for their brothers, sisters, mothers, all of that. So they are part. It's a family, it's not a team. I just say it's a team, but for us, it's a family.
You cooked at the White House for 3 days for President Obama and Vice President Biden. What was that experience like?
Amazing. I loved it. And I loved it because everyone loved our food. Actually, they have adapted our spanakopita, our baklava, into their menus. Fish, yogurt.
And were the staff there welcoming? Was the chef at the White House welcoming of you being there?
I think it was my best experience when I went to the White House. And they came, they picked me up, and they said, here you are, take a cart, and you just go around. It was great for me, you know, just to go around in the White House without anyone, you know, bothering me and looking around. But it was beautiful. Of course, somewhere there were cameras, but it doesn't matter. I felt like I was privileged.
So you've launched a line of dinnerware, you have appliances, you have your own branded food products, you know, have a PBS show, you know, the Life of Loy. How do you find time to do all that and run your restaurant?
You know, it's easy. When you have a great team, you are not doing it by yourself. It's a teamwork. And that's what I have. And because, as I said before, like, I want to change the world, you know, one healthy bite at a time. I wanted to bring this healthy and quality Greek and Mediterranean ingredients and products to the U.S. to show people, you know, how delicious eating healthy can be. Because they said, oh, healthy? It's not good. No. It's very delicious when you know how to cook it, you know. People, they said that pasta, you are going to go against the Italians? Pasta is Italian. I said, no. Pasta is Greek from the ancient years, okay? So they just have to go back to history. So, and that's how I started. I started with my pasta because everyone was against that. And they said also, so many people avoid pasta and carbohydrates. Wrong. Because the truth is, you know, with quality ingredients, you don't feel like bloated or sick, okay, after eating them. After a Loy pasta, we made the Loy dips. You know, then our meli, organic Greek honeys, especially my black honey. I want the whole world to taste that black honey. It's really unique, you know. And then our Loy lavi. Extra virgin olive oil, you know, from Crete. And I was so proud when we won the Sophia Award for best new product in the olive oil category. I was feeling like flying out of 2,000 entries, more than 2,000 entries. Can you imagine? It was a big deal. And now, because of my team, and we also have our Loy beans, and Loy Botanical Lines, and have another 15 or 20 SKUs, you know, in the works. coming from Greece, but also from southern Italy.
And how many retail locations would you guess you're in now?
Oh, we have so many because we are in five regions. You know, Whole Foods, Fresh Direct, ShopRite, but it's many. I could say that I didn't visit all of them, but at least I have visited almost 400 and just triple it. And maybe next year will be five times up.
So tell me about the Elpida Foundation, at which you co-founded. What are you engaged in?
It was so many years ago. And now Elpida has even a hospital in Greece, you know. But and we have decided to help children that they were supposed to go out from Greece because we didn't have the hospital to take care of them, that they had cancer. But now they can stay in Greece, and the doctors, they can fly to Greece, you know, to take care of them from here, from Europe, from everywhere. And it's going so well. We're so proud of it. But now what I'm doing new things because they don't need me there anymore. So we're with Lukumi Foundation, that there are kids that they take care of others, and they are doing good deeds. We're working now with the flooding hospital, who they are taking care of people in need. And I love them. We're working with the Center for Discovery, upstate New York. And they have a foundation that they take care of not only children, adults as well, with severe autism. And we're changing their diet. And we have tremendous success for that. You know, you can see the difference in the 5 years period.
So since we've already established you don't have enough to do, how did the PBS show Life of Loy come about?
So it's exactly my life. That's what I told you, what I'm doing, how I eat, how I live, how I am with my people, how I walk in the morning to go to the park. Because as we can say that, we're eating right, but if you don't move, it's not going to be good. You have, everything is together, you know. So we're going to Greece. We check what these people, they used to eat, you know, during the ancient years. We check what they eat today, and we cook with them. We see how the environment is. And then we take part of that knowledge. I put my grandfather's knowledge, I put Dr. Kalle's knowledge from Harvard University, I put Catherine Fleming's knowledge that she is a great historian and she is a provost of NYU. And I come back to New York and we make a recipe here in my favorite kitchen at Lois Theatorio, but also we have another favorite kitchen now, the Floti Hospital, because we have a teaching kitchen there. So, and we combine all this together, and it's so easy to understand what you should do, how you can cook it, you know, how you should eat it, with whom you should eat it, because if you eat it alone, it's miserable. Please sit down and eat it with your friends, with your family. Don't eat alone. Don't eat fast. That's not life. So, and that's what the Life of Loy is. And you can check it, actually. If you go to PBS Food or YouTube, you can see the Life of Loy.
Maria, what are your favorite foods?
Favorite foods. Exactly what I told you before about the Mediterranean diet. Every day, I eat a bean soup, like a cup of bean soup. Okay, that lowers my cholesterol. I don't have cholesterol because I eat it. But also beans, they have zinc. That's my grandfather now comes to me, okay? He was kind of a doctor of today. So, and during the pandemic, actually, we were sending bean soup to all of our customers because it was very good. So we were sending the tea, the mountain tea, the oregano. If you make an oregano tea and you have your chest here, it's congested, you know, you will feel after 10 minutes, he will say, wow, it's so good. I never use medicine. Sorry, pharmacist. So, yeah. So, and what I like to eat, simple. Now I like to eat a spanakopita, spinach pie. Okay. I eat, as I said, a piece of bread. And especially if we have those breads, you know, that they come from Crete, the Dakos bread. I just put some water and a bit of vinegar and olive oil on the top. And some feta cheese or tomato. And that's it. These are my favorite foods, you know. Simple. Simplicity is everything in life.
So, thinking of the life of Loy, what advice do you have for an adult who is considering a midlife career change like you did? What's your advice to them? A lot of people are considering that at this point.
So, I believe at any age, you know, at any age, it's important, you know, to remember something. You can always change your life. That's what I did. So I can say yes, okay? And the most important lesson that I have ever learned was to never give up, ever, okay? That's a personal motto I live by and share with people, you know. It's the best piece of advice that I can give. Never give up, ever.
So what does the future look like for Maria Loy?
Great. And always I'm optimistic. Yes, it is. It's going to be great. And as long as I have my health and I have my team near me and I have the kids to take care, that's what, for me, it's happiness.
Could you share with our listeners the poem as much as you can that you referred to?
Yeah, I have it in English.
Right, the poem that changed your life.
And I hope it will change many people's lives because I am so happy and I want others to become and to be always happy like me. So, okay. As much as you can. And even if you cannot make your life the way you want it, this much at least try to do. As much as you can. Don't cheapen it with too much intercourse with society, with too much movement and conversation. Don't cheapen it by taking it about, making the rounds with it, exposing it to the everyday inanity of relations and connections, so it becomes like a stranger, burdensome.
Maria, thank you so much for taking your time with me today. You're an inspiration to us mere mortals.
Thank you.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, produced by Lena Beck and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you'll find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time when our guest will be Eric Stern, former counsel to two governors, now a principal in a sports technology startup venture fund, and son of the late NBA commissioner, David Stern. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you good health and prosperity.